Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two men, vehicle.
Two men and a woman.
Yeah, that's right. Jess and Anita, Tobias and Sarah.
Yeah, we are here. Good to be back.
Friday's show, we know we talk about spiritual warfare here. Wednesdays and Fridays, that's the theme of the program.
Yes, it is.
The month of October, just want to remind everybody.
Yeah, October is the month of which the Catholic Church dedicates the most holy rosary. And what is that? It's a devotion which Our Lady loves most and have asked us to pray frequently and, if possible, daily in her apparitions and various saints, like Saint Dominic de Guzman. She relayed this message to Blessed Alan de la Roche, Saint Bernadette of Subaru's, and she's from Lourdes, to Blessed Jacinta, Blessed Francisco, and Sister Lucia in Fatima. And also, St. Louis de Martyr has a book.
So in other words, pray your rosary
every day. Right. Honor our mother and then ask for her intercession for protection and for anything else that you might want.
That's right.
You know, that's occurring in your life or, you know, so.
You know,
for those around you.
Especially for men. think about the fighting sports, wrestling, boxing, full contact karate, UFC. Nobody becomes a champion without doing road work. I mean,
right.
I'm talking get up and, oh, got to run 5 miles again.
Absolutely.
The rosary is the road work for the soul.
Right.
If you want to be a champion for Christ, you need to start doing that road work for your soul.
And that road work is constancy every day. Be
not
consistent.
Just once a week saying, okay, no. I did it last Monday.
Right.
No.
Right.
Demons are afraid of constancy of prayer.
Absolutely. And if you can't do it in the morning, like I do mine's in the morning.
Yeah.
There's still, you have the rest of the day to do it before 12 midnight. Because
that's
remember,
right.
After 12 midnight, that's another day.
Yep. Let's get right into it.
Yes, absolutely.
This is the season that witches and Satanists, they consider October, they consider this their month. We'll talk more about that next week. But there's an article here where Father Vince Lambert and other exorcists, they warn us about witchcraft, and they don't use the word witchcraft these days. They try to make it nice and politically correct to try to confuse low-information people. They call it Wicca. Wicca. Okay, it's witchcraft.
Wicca.
It's just, so this witchcraft promises freedom, but all that exorcists know, it delivers bondage. It delivers shackles.
Right.
So, this article put out by Patty McGuire from the Catholic Register, she writes, and by the way, there's a picture here of a male witch, they call them wizards, a guy named Don Lewis. He has his hands in an orange position. Notice the way they try to imitate a Catholic priest.
Mm-hmm.
He's dressed in all black robes. Notice the way they try to imitate a Catholic priest. So he's here in a Wiccan ritual at a temple at a witch school in Hoopstown, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
So the article says?
It says, starts with, through celebrity glitz and shouts of female empowerment, witchcraft has become chic. According to Pew Research, witches now outnumber Presbyterians. Whoa. The brand image of these days is cool, so no one with stringing hair or nose warts need apply.
I'll tell you how they made it cool. They made it cool through the Harry Potter series.
Right.
That's how they normalize it through society.
And then a good-looking person.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to, you know. No
Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yes.
And they even started preparing us a long time ago, because I used to watch it. I'm guilty. I didn't think anything of it. Was Bewitched.
Bewitched, absolutely.
I mean, so they've been watering the ground for us to accept witchcraft a long time ago.
Right.
I mean, I thought it was kind of cool.
Absolutely.
Bewitched.
I remember
I it was
watching
a funny
those
show.
Series. It was a funny show,
but
we didn't know.
But it
what
normalized
we know
witchcraft.
Now. It sure did. It made it look like, look it, I have the power to change things.
Yeah.
When we know that that's not true.
Only God has the power.
Only God.
Demons
absolutely.
Can only deceive, and they engage in illusions, and they move around matter, but God has the only one that has supernatural power.
Yes. Patty McGuire continues, faithful Catholics would choose words other than cool to describe Wicca. Demonic would be more accurate. Okay, remember Patty McGuire Armstrong is the writer. We understand that evil lies beneath the veneer of female empowerment and chumminess with the universe. In 2019, the Los Angeles Times did a big feature on the, quote, working witches of LA, end quote, giving it over 2,200 words. That's first-class treatment in our short attention span. A local TV show host followed up on the article and gushed on the air with a Southern California witch. She said, "This is my favorite story of the week," end quote.
Wow.
"I feel like the world needs witches right now at a time when people are losing faith in their institutions." Ah, losing faith.
That's right. That's
in
exactly.
In who? In God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Once
so
you
she
lose
keyed in on that. See that? See, they...
This.
Gosh.
It was a Los Angeles Times...
yeah.
I guess he was interviewing somebody.
Right.
But that's what happens. An exorcist to say, as faith starts waning in God...
Yeah.
There's a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
There's a vacuum for the occult.
Absolutely.
And it attracts the occult.
Yeah. So he continues, "I feel like the world needs witches right now at a time when people are losing faith in our institutions," said the show's guest. "People are looking for something to believe in. Sadly, the host did not mention Jesus Christ as something or someone to believe in." Of course, that is the very, very last option, or not option at all. Okay?
Working witches, it says here. "There are apparently thriving covens in Los Angeles where working witches earn a comfortable living. They work as counselors, spiritual life coaches, astrologists, herbalists, tarot card readers, Reiki masters, and oracles, often casting spells. Love spells are popular, and communion with spirit guides. The witch guests claimed they create sacred spaces, and all for $150 to $200 an hour." Well, Patty writes, "My sacred space is in a Catholic church before the Blessed Sacrament or in a quiet place praying to God, and it's free." Way to go, Patty.
Yep.
"One woman who calls herself the Oracle has been a professional witch for 8 years. She performs energetic healings and intuitive empowerment sessions and writes books and newsletters on topics such as how to break a curse using the disruptive energy of a lunar eclipse. Today's working witches primarily see themselves as healers. We see things quite differently. Jesus Christ, for us as Catholics, Jesus Christ is the true healer, and his sacraments bring real healing to the soul. Witchcraft taps into the power of the devil, who will not leave of his own accord once he's invited in. Those healers are now the ones in need of healing." That sentence needs to be repeated again. Witchcraft taps into the power of the devil. It's not innocuous.
Mm-hmm. Yes, witches are becoming more visible. Why? The recent rise in witchcraft seems to have coincided with an increase of angry anti-institutional sentiment in the culture. There are even some people claiming to be Christian witches, despite the fact that they cannot be both.
Contradiction.
Yep. Yeah, there's duplicity right there, and it talks about that in Scripture. Duplicitous. More than a dozen people, Bible passages warn against it.
Yeah, what it's saying in the Old Testament, witchcraft in the Old Testament or witches suffer the death penalty. It's a death penalty offense.
Absolutely, hell.
They literally killed them in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
In the New Testament, witchcraft is called a mortal sin. So in both Testaments, they're condemned. In the highest language.
Mm-hmm. Witches have taken to social media, where some on Instagram have collected hundreds of thousands of followers. They use social media to widely publicize their attempt to bind President Trump with curses and hexes and to get people to cast spells on the Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Remember all that?
They're united with the Democrat Party. Yeah. The Satanists and the witchcraft. Now, we found out in this last election, the witches and the Satanists are basically another paramilitary arm of the Democrat Party.
Yep. So the exorcist Father Vincent Lambert also explained, "Anyone who would dare say they want to challenge that God is in charge is using the power of evil as their own. They should realize that we can't use the devil. The devil uses us.
Mm.
People can't control it, and the devil ends up using them for his own purposes."
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Father Lampert also says spells have an effect only on people who are spiritually weak. If we are anchored in God, he
said. State of grace.
Scripture tells us we have nothing to fear. Quote, Ephesians 6:10-18, put on the whole armor of God.
You know that passage.
Yeah, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places.
Only one thing I want to mention about Ephesians 6:10 and following, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Why did the St. Paul use the word wrestle? It means because fighting with demons is close quarter combat.
Yes.
Close quarter combat.
Yes, and we know that. Our sons are wrestlers.
Yeah. And so, I mean, this close quarter combat can be, again,
as close as you can get.
possession is they're inside the body.
Yep.
That's as close as you can get. So throughout history, the malevolence of witchcraft has been condemned in Scripture, hunted in Europe, and unwelcome in the New World. And yet it has crept into the culture, our culture. It's been through Hollywood. Hollywood's rammed it down our throats and the Harry Potter series.
Mm-hmm.
Some witches actually identify as Catholics despite the church's dire warnings against it. And I'll tell you how, Anita, we'll have to do this in another segment as well because it's worth it. This is the way they also ram it and make it innocuous. They have all kinds of haunted houses all over the country around now.
Haunted houses.
And a lot of millennials, young people, they see nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, we got to continue this in the next segment.
Here comes
our lady, the cause of our joy.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
What up, Guadalupe? Pray for us.
The patron saint of the unborn. We love you.
Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us.
Jesus 911. We are back.
We are back. Sorry.
we're talking about this great article put out by Patty Armstrong.
Yes.
I think it's from the National Catholic Register, and she's talking about the fact the normalization of witchcraft. That unfortunately, the article's called "Exorcist Warns, Wicca Promises." That means witchcraft promises freedom, but it delivers shackles.
You could also look on our website for today's radio shows, and the link is right there.
Yeah, so it's by Patty Armstrong.
Yes.
And she's a good writer. She's a good Catholic writer. She says, throughout history, the malevolence of witchcraft has been condemned in Scripture, hunted in Europe, and unwelcome in the New World. Yeah, because people know it's a mortal sin in the New Testament, and it's a death penalty offense in the Old Testament, and it goes against the first commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall have no false gods before me. Mm-hmm. Witchcraft, they tap into the power of Satan, and this is why it's an offense against God. There's a famous book that came out years ago. It's called Ungodly Rage. So in that book, Ungodly Rage, The Hidden Face of Catholic Feminism, Donna Steichen reported that witchcraft has even sneaked into some Catholic universities and convents, disguised as women's spirituality. She provided extensive documentation, including names and eyewitness accounts of events and rituals clearly employing witchcraft in her book. So it's even infiltrated again. Yeah. Catholic convents, can you believe that?
Wow.
And according to her, the most current practitioners inside that Wicca, that witchcraft, is a benign cult based on nature. Yet it calls on nature and goddesses from nature as real powers.
Wow.
Again, the Catholic Church has always condemned occultism as dangerous and warned of the spiritual and psychological risks in seeking mystical experience apart from God. Once again, this whole thing is a violation of the first commandment. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no strange gods before me. It's that clear.
Yes. What is an exorcist warning? He says, you are becoming indebted by calling on power not from God and establishing a relationship with that power. According to another exorcist she spoke with previously, he said, if you ask a favor, these spirits don't want to help you in the long run. If you think they do, you are fooling yourself. So according to him, the idea that we can cast spells is the devil's way of being seductive and drawing people into relationships with him. Once these demonic powers are in a relationship with you, you have to go through a great level of spiritual battle to be free. They are not going to let you go, he said. So like a stalker, the devil doesn't want people to walk away from him. Evil is not concerned about your freedom. It wants control, he said. It is God who wants you to have true freedom. Yeah, there's freedom in Christ. Liber Christo.
That's right. Liber, yeah, and by the way, what we've learned from Liber Christo is we have a relationship with God. That's the calling of every Catholic, is to have a relationship. He's our Father. We are his sons and daughters. But demons, what they try to do, they try to interpose themselves. They try to get between that relationship. Just like this article said, they want a relationship with you.
Yeah.
They don't want you to have a relationship with
God.
You
know how we, as Christians, God is we lift him up in the throne in our hearts. So that's what the demon wants to do. The devil wants to be enthroned.
Exactly.
And so we need to do everything in our power to dethrone him every day. And that's an everyday task in our heart.
And
keep him dethroned. Keep him dethroned. And throne the Lord.
And the way he does it, he's trying to have a relationship. Yeah. Demons are trying to have a relationship with you. Mm-hmm. Get you to fall in mortal sin. Mm-hmm. Get you to involved in some type of practice that separates you from God. Mm-hmm. And now they have a relationship with you. Now they're talking to you. They're putting ideas and thoughts and words into your mind. And they accomplish exactly what they wanted.
Yep.
Here's what I'm going to just give you a piece of advice for most people. Most people have a laptop or an iPhone. Once you start feeling the attacks, here's what I learned this from the guys at Liber Christo, the instructors there. Put on the rosary on your iPhone or your laptop when you start feeling these attacks. Just put it on in the background as you're working, as whatever you're doing your best. Just put it on. And of course, you shouldn't be trying to pray with it. Or put on Gregorian chant. That just keeps demons away. You're in your computer, you're working, it's late at night. Put on Gregorian chant. Put it on. It'll just keep your office clean, pure. These are the three things that I put constantly because I'm a high-level target, okay? High level. This is what I do for money. I'm teaching people about this. You think I'm not attacked? I'm constantly attacked. And so every time, as soon as I open my laptop, and I'm not studying for something, boom, Gregorian chant, the rosary, preferably in Latin, or the St. Michael chaplet. Those are the three things that are ongoing. I bed at night, I'm here working. I have those three things running in a loop. Why? Because I can feel the power coming out of those words.
And the protection.
And protection. Driving everything out of this house.
Power of protection, absolutely.
And so, guys, I'm just giving you some ways to stay protected. Y'all have a laptop, y'all have an iPhone. Here are the three things that you should be running in a loop throughout today. The rosary. Try to learn it in Latin too, by the way, and you can get in Latin on the internet. The Gregorian chant, if you want to just purify the atmosphere, and also the chaplet of Saint Michael the Archangel, very powerful tool to stay protected.
Yeah, because you're calling on Michael's chaplet. You're calling on all the angels, the seraphim, the cherubim, the
nine
thrones,
choirs, right.
The dominions. The virtues, the principalities, the powers, archangels, angels. You're calling on each of them, and each of them have a different task. So, you know, when something happens, they're going to protect you because you've already called on them.
Yeah, because
whatever it may be, you know,
because the demons belong to one of those fallen ranks of angels.
Right, right.
And so you're ascending the rank of angel to deal with that demon that used to be part of that rank in heaven, that choir.
Yeah.
And you're sending him to dispatch him.
Yeah.
And so you're sending the proper angel to rout out the proper demon that's harassing you.
Right.
We're going to move on now.
Yeah, we're going to go on to what are we in? We're
part eight. We're talking about angels and demons, just to be honest with you. This is the theology of angels and demons, and it is fascinating.
Yes, yes.
And we're accessing a good work by Father Thomas Eitenauer, a Catholic priest. And it's a question and answer session that he did
In book form.
In book form.
And which is no longer in print.
Yeah, the book's no longer in print.
Yeah,
but
so
again,
we'll
see. Hopefully, we'll see if we can change that somewhere in the future. But let's jump right into it.
Yes.
The first question is, why does the devil possess some people and not others?
That's a good question. So what does Father Eitenauer say? The definitive answer to this question will remain unknown until we see God face to face. Father Dennis McManus speculates that a demon's choice of his victim may be related to personality. That is, just as we gravitate towards certain people naturally, so do they. It is a plausible explanation for a very mysterious phenomenon. What is sure, however, is that there are many more possessed people than we will ever know. We speak here about the freely chosen possession of people who have given themselves over to devil worship. Such people do not exhibit satanic behaviors, appearance, or tendencies in public, and no one would ever know they are possessed. They offer no resistance to the devil because they freely consent to his being in them. The Book of Wisdom talks about these in a frightening passage. Quote, "It was the wicked who, with hands and words, invited death, considered it a friend, and pinned it for it, and made a covenant with it, because they deserved to be in its possession." End quote. We must always pray for the conversion of these people, but more than anything, we should pray to be protected from them.
Man, there's a lot here. Yes. I'm going to peel this like an onion here.
Yes, it's got a lot.
Father Dennis McManus is an exorcist professor. He teaches at the Pope Leo XIII Institute of Exorcism. Well, so notice what he talks about, that demons are attracted to certain types of personalities. What type of personalities? People that have an orientation towards sin and vice. People that gravitate towards evil. As like Father Gabriel Amorth says, evil spirits are attracted to evil people. Fortea says, unclean spirits are attracted to unclean people. So, and also, exorcists teach that evil spirits are attracted to evil places, like evil houses where evil things are practiced. I like what he said here in the next one. I even underlined it, that there's many more possessed people than we will ever even know. And he says about people that have freely chosen possession and devil worship. I worked the LA County Jail. There's a whole section in the jail. There's a lot of people in the county jail, I can tell you. And once we identified them, we'd put them in a certain section. But there's satanic occult killers and mass murders. But there's a lot of them just roaming around the jail or in prisons that have given their life to Satan. You'd never know it. They're doing push-ups and pull-ups. You know, they read a book. They sit next to you in the mess hall. You even have people in public. I would dare say, I'll be honest with you, I would dare say that a lot of politicians are perfectly possessed based on this theology here. In other words, what does that mean? Those are people that align their will with Satan. That's what perfect possession is. You align your will with Satan, and guess what? You look like a normal person going to work wearing a suit and tie, carrying a briefcase. You'd never know it. But the devil uses these people because they're amongst the crowd of people, but they have power. And their will is aligned. And you can tell because they're always tending towards evil, especially a politician.
Yep.
They'll always tend towards legislation that does damage, that promotes communism, that promotes abortion, that promotes homosexual marriage. And so you'll see that there's a lot of people that are perfectly possessed in our society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are. And you know, for instance, you got Jay-Z and Beyonce.
They don't even hide it.
They don't even hide it.
You can listen to them.
But look at them. Yeah. Just imagine if you didn't know them. They think, oh, you know, they're rap artists. They're singers, and you know they're wonderful. But look at what's behind them. I mean, look at Beyonce. She says something comes over me when I'm up there performing, and you know it's Sasha Fierce. That's who comes over me. So why? She goes, I don't even know that. I don't even think that's me when I look at myself. But see, there you go.
She's just one of many. You can go on the internet and type in actors who have given their life to Satan, and you could see them actually giving interviews, like to Oprah Winfrey, to Bill Maher.
Yeah.
The mainstream liberal press.
Yeah.
They're talking about openly that they've given their life to Satan, and every single one of them, you'll see, why do they do that? All of them are promised a lot of money, and a lot, and they have it, and power.
Right.
lifetime popularity. Yeah. And they'll get it in this lifetime, but it'll cost them their soul at the end.
Yes.
Here she comes, yeah, the cause of
the
our joy.
The crusher of demons.
Yes. Immaculate Heart of Mary, crush the evil spirit under your immaculate feet.
Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your arms. Your beauty and your grace are the bright little dawn. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in.
Don't you love that music? Our Lady Guadalupe, pray for us.
Wow.
Pray for us.
What a way to end the week, Friday,
yes,
with that beautiful, soothing music.
Yes.
To the Virgin Most Powerful,
yes,
who's our 12-star general. Remember, pray your rosary every day and read your Bible every day, the Mass readings every single day.
What I like is just, it does touch the passions.
Yeah,
bit.
It does. Yeah.
The rhythm.
Yeah, and that's good.
That's
good.
It's okay.
It's good to be, the passions are good. These are emotions given to us by God when they're properly ordered.
Mm-hmm.
So the next question is, what is a state of perfect possession? Go ahead.
Yes, that's okay. Let's go into that. Following from the last question, perfect possession describes a state in which a person not only freely invites a demon to possess him, but also cooperates with full consent of the mind and will in the demon's malicious desire to destroy God's kingdom and children. Some think that this type of human malevolence is not possible, but they are surely mistaken.
Sorely
mistaken. Of this frightening phenomenon, Malachi Martin writes, he says, as the term implies, a victim of perfect possession is absolutely controlled by evil and gives no outward indication, no hint whatsoever, of the demonic residing within. He or she will not cringe as others who are possessed will at the sight of such religious symbols as a crucifix or a rosary. The perfectly possessed will not bridle at the touch of holy water or hesitate to discuss religious topics with an equanimity. We may never know why people so perfectly surrender themselves to the source of all evil, but the fact of the matter is that there are people whose lives are just as given over to the promotion of the kingdom of darkness as ours are in promoting the kingdom of light. Whoa.
There's a whole lot here.
Oh, yes.
There's a whole lot here. Let me break some things down.
Yes.
This is why the devil goes after politicians as a preferred choice, because they're power players. They're the earth movers. They're the ones that can maximize damage. A good politician, think about this. Let me give you juxtaposition here of Catholics and the good they can do when they follow Christ and how wicked they can be when they reject their faith. Okay. You have Ron DeSantis and Governor Abbott, two practicing Catholics. Look at all the good they do. Talk to people in Florida and Texas and just keep up with one piece of legislation after another that's pro-life, pro-family, pro-God. They're Catholics. Their Catholic conscience, their mind is formed by the Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now look at...
For the common good.
Yeah. Now look at Biden and Pelosi, two baptized Catholics.
Yep.
All their legislation... It's tend towards evil and death,
destruction,
and communism and destruction,
destruction of family, destruction of marriages. Destruction.
And so here you got four Catholics I just named. Okay, Adam and Eve, when they had Cain and Abel, Cain the bad son killed Abel the good son. They had another son called Seth, and so all of us on planet Earth, we either come from the Sethite line, we're children of God and children of righteousness. Or we come for the Canaanite line, we're sons of Satan and sons of that promote evil and wickedness. And so I'll be honest with you, the devil, he knows who are the sons of Cain. They don't live in a state of grace. They don't have a prayer life. They don't have any protection. So they're easily evangelized by the devil, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using the word evangelized. They're easily proselytized by Satan. And Father Malachi Martin says again, this is what's scary, is that you don't know who they are.
Nope.
Usually victims of just regular possession, and they end up going to a Catholic priest, to the diocesan exorcist. You can tell.
For those that want healing.
Yeah, for those that want healing.
For those that want healing.
Because they're trying to fight against it. And so there are physical battles in their body called diabolical manifestations because the person wants to get rid of the demon. So there are physical torments and assaults on the body that can be seen by people, especially in the presence of a priest, especially in the presence of an exorcist. But in perfect possession, you don't know if it's your neighbor. You don't know if it's your mayor, the chief of police. These are people that look perfectly normal and healthy, and the devil doesn't because their will is aligned perfectly
doesn't give
with
you a
Satan's.
Clue.
Yeah, so there's going to be no violent reactions in the body because they're perfectly aligned with Satan's
I
will.
I want evil. I want to live this way. You know, I accept all the evil that I'm open to. So, you know, that's why you can't tell.
So I'll give you an example of people that are perfectly possessed and they live all around us and you don't know who they are. People that are involved in Satanism or witchcraft, they've aligned their will with Satan and they'll, people say, oh yeah, I work at Burger King. My coworker's a witch. She's taught me she's a witch. She's perfectly possessed. You'd never know it again because there will be no physical manifestations because she's aligned her will with Satan's will entirely.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I realize that, it was my view of someone that's possessed became broader when we met the gentleman from California, the Latino gentleman.
He said, David Arias.
Yeah, David Arias.
Former Satanist.
He's a former Satanist, and he told us, you know, Jesse, you know, there's, you go into their covens, you won't believe how many people are educated there. You got police chiefs, you got judges, you got actors and actors, prosecutors. So it really was a sobering thought. And I thought, wow, I thought, you know, it was just, you know, for the little people, I thought people are educated. But remember, you can be educated and have a college a background and a book learn. But that doesn't mean anything. If you have no wisdom in God, you're open to anything.
I'll prove to you the way. Yeah. I would say some of the most powerful people in the world are Satanists. There's a place in California. It's called the Bohemian Grove. It's in Northern California, in the in the Sonoma County. It's about 2,700 acres. It has military, ex-military guys all around it, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Nobody can get in. Not even law enforcement is allowed to get in, local law enforcement. Okay? In there, they have annual retreats where you have the most powerful people in the world. They go there and they end their retreat. Of course, nobody knows what goes on in there because it's a secret club for men only and billionaires and millionaires.
Yeah.
And what they can do, because they've been able to take pictures of it, like with drones and helicopters, they have a lake there and they have a big statue of a big owl. Now, a big owls are supposed to be wise, but also if you look at different pagan cultures, it's a demon god. The owl is a demon god. And so you'll have these millionaires and billionaire power players all over the world. They'll dress up like in a toga and they'll start dancing and praying to this giant demon owl. And again, these are the rich and famous people on planet Earth that go through these rituals. Now, some people may say, it's just a couple of guys having fun on the weekend, a couple of billionaires and millionaires having fun. No, these are contracts and rights that they are making with Satan. And it just goes to show you how, in fact, the Illuminati brags, the Illuminati, another secret society, they say that's where we have our annual retreats. It's that's the place where we take all our members that are coming in. And the Illuminati, it's only, again, it's another secret society of only the rich and famous. A lot of Hollywood actors.
Presidents.
Presidents.
Not President Trump.
Yeah, world leaders all over the world. People from the World Health Organization. I mean, it's got some of those people from big tech, big pharma. The CEOs, the ones that run it, they're the ones that are invited.
Because those are the movers and the shakers of the world. Those are the ones that...
They're Satanists.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are the ones that are going to push their agenda.
And so Malachi Martin was onto something when he was teaching back in the 50s and 60s about perfect possession, that there are people that align their will with Satan. And I'll tell you who's going to do it ultimately. It's a person called the Antichrist. The Antichrist is not a devil. It's a human being. It'll be a human person if he's not already here. And he is going to be one that's... perfectly possessed par excellence. His will is aligned with Satan. In fact, the Antichrist has perfect access and communication with Satan. And when he comes, it will be the Antichrist trying to run the world, if he's not already here, trying to run the world by a one-world government. Yeah. But he'll get complete directions from Satan.
Yeah, and then I could just visualize some people that just want are so control-hungry right now that... I said, are they the Antichrist?
I know. Yeah.
You know?
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Okay, let's go on with our next
question. Let me ask
the next question.
Okay, what does a demon actually possess, the body or soul?
Okay.
We're going to park it on this one for a while.
Yes. Okay, so it says, Father Einar says, it is a common misconception that demons possess souls. They do not. The soul and its spiritual faculties of mind and will are closed realms to the devil. And he cannot penetrate them. Demons, strictly speaking, possess only bodies. Demons can exercise a certain measure of control over mind and will, however. They can also override these faculties as to cause a person to lose both consciousness and freedom, sometimes completely, but this does not mean that they possess these faculties. They remain uniquely the property of their human owner, which is why it is possible for a person in a totally possessed state to remain without sin. There is always some realm of the person that the devil is not permitted access to. What is common, however, is the devil's penetration of the emotional and sensitive parts of the human soul.
That's called the lower faculties.
Mm-hmm.
Or just think about below the waist.
Yeah.
Higher faculties, think about above the waist.
Traditionally known as the memory or imagination. That's the sensitive parts we're talking about. This is the realm of the images, senses, passions, and memories to which the devil can have access because they are more tied to the flesh than the other spiritual faculties of the mind and will. Well, we got to stop here because our lady's giving us the cue.
Yes.
The cause of our joy.
Amen. Patroness of the Americas, ora pro nobis.
The mystical rose.
Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your arms. Your beauty and your grace are the bright little dawn. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us.
Virgo potens ora pro nobis. Just want to mention, there's some good news. Somebody just sent me a text that the over in Nebraska, they are lifting the, who's the doctor in Nebraska? Nebraska is allowing ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine to be used for its patients in the entire state of Nebraska.
That is awesome.
Yeah,
this is awesome.
Yeah. So they're saying,
thank you, Jesus.
They're saying, Nebraska Attorney General says doctors can legally prescribe ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine for COVID. And the Attorney General from Nebraska calls out Fauci for fueling medical confusion and misinformation.
Yeah.
People are fighting back. Also in New York, there's a huge, in Times Square, there's a huge protest and rally that's going on right now. Let's just say.
Actually, there's another rally in by Phoenix Airport, American Airlines.
Oh, today.
Today. There's people out there protesting.
Let's pray a Hail Mary, ask our Lady to protect all of them and just give them the strength to go on.
Mm-hmm.
Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Join us.
Ave Maria, gracia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu mulieribus et benedictus frutus ventris tui, Jesus. Santa Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in mortis nostrae. Amen. In nomine Patris, Filii, Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Amen. We're talking about, Anita, this question is the question of all questions
right
here.
Yes.
This is This is the one that everybody wants to know. So we're going to have to parse this and go
yes,
slow.
Yes, we're going
to
start over from the beginning because I know I was going through it. I went halfway through
yeah,
it
this
for
is
the break,
so
but
good.
I think it's important.
It's
absolutely.
So rich.
We're going to go sentence by sentence.
Yeah. So the question is, what does a demon actually possess? The body or the soul? Take notes on this because this is really good.
Yeah, it says, Father says, it is a common misconception that demons possess the soul. They do not. The soul and its spiritual faculties of mind and will are closed realms to the devil, and he cannot penetrate them. So there.
Okay, let me just explain
yes.
that. St. Thomas says that the higher faculties, the word faculty means power. Just think about power, power of the soul. The higher faculties of the soul, and just if you want to get a mental image, think about above mm-hmm. the waist, would be your intellect, the mind, and the will, the heart. Those are the higher faculties. The devil has no access to that. He can torment you, harass you, tempt you, but he can't possess those faculties. The lower faculties of the soul are typically called the passions, the emotions, or the appetites. He does have access to that, to the lower faculties.
And we'll go on to that with the next couple of sentences
yes.
there. So demons, strictly speaking, possess only bodies. So there you go. Cannot possess the soul, the mind or the will, but they can possess the body.
This is why, for example, in the history of the Catholic Church, you've actually had holy people, not often, this is a rare occurrence,
yep.
but you've had instances of holy people, dare I say saints, that who have been possessed. Why? Because their soul is perfectly mm-hmm. intact, their yeah. intellect and will is given over to God. And to do the will of God and in love with God,
mm-hmm.
but the body has been possessed by a demon, by God's permission, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And all this happens. Mm-hmm. Don't ever think like, oh, no, you know, I must be the worst person in the world. I'm possessed. Everything happens for a salvific purpose. God allows this to happen mm-hmm. to save your soul. And God also, even in the realm of demons,
yeah.
God gives them permission to operate and do whatever it is that needs to be done to make us holy. So
yep.
God uses them like useful idiots, so to speak.
Yep. So he continues, demons can exercise a certain measure of control over mind and will. However, they can also override these faculties as to cause a person to lose both consciousness and freedom, sometimes completely. But this does not mean that they possess these faculties. So there you go. We just talked about that.
This is the way they override your intellect and will. They, for example, through bad music.
Mm-hmm.
Think about some music; it can conjure up some bad thoughts. The music
yeah, it attacks your passions.
Yeah, the music that is already attacking, speaking, triggering your passions. What happens immediately?
Mm-hmm.
It connects right to your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. It transports you to a moment
right.
when you were committing a mortal sin or something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so music, pictures,
mm-hmm.
Images, the devil will use these things, you know, from the television, from a computer screen, he'll use these things to trigger, incite your passions,
mm-hmm.
which are the lower faculties. And the lower faculties, this is connected. The emotions directly, they call this, there's a concomitant relationship with the mind, the memory, and the imagination. And all of a sudden, you have filth in your mind because the emotions were triggered.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way they bypass the intellect and the will. And in doing so, they start clouding the intellect and the will by this operation.
Yes, yes, that's blinding you.
And the Bible actually says they do that in 2 Corinthians 4:4.
Mm-hmm. Let's continue. They remain uniquely the property of their human owner, which is why it is possible for a person in a totally possessed state to remain without sin. There is always some realm of the person that the devil is not permitted access to.
Yeah, again, so even in some people that are perfectly possessed, or some people that are possessed, should I say,
mm-hmm.
historically, for example, the exorcism of Emily Rose. From all accounts, she was a young woman that lived in a state of grace and that she was a young, pious, virtuous,
mm-hmm.
homeschooling girl.
Yeah.
But she was totally possessed. Some posit some of the authors of that book say she was cursed by somebody. and this all the obviously happens by God's permission only.
Mm-hmm.
But again, as Father Eitner just said there, the intellect and the will are always under the dominion of the person, and the devil is not permitted access to your intellect and will. He can override it by triggering your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Then he clouds or blinds the intellect and will by you consenting to the sin. The consent to the temptation and the suggestion and the consenting to the sin now causes intellectual blindness and weakens the will. That's how it works.
That's what puts you in mortal sin.
Yeah.
Right there.
Not temptation.
Not temptation.
Temptation is not a sin.
If you follow through with it.
Consent.
Yes, right.
Consent.
So here we go. What is common, however, is the devil's penetration of the emotional and sensitive parts of the human soul, traditionally known as the memory or imagination.
Again, we would call that the emotional and sensitive parts of the human soul.
Mm-hmm.
We would say that those are called the lower faculties, the lower powers of the soul. And the devil has access to that. Yeah, below the
waist.
The devil has access to that. And when he triggers the emotional or sensitive parts of the soul,
mm-hmm.
that's connected to your memory and imagination.
Mm-hmm.
There's a concomitant relationship. Again, I'll just prove it to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. Okay, I'm going to divulge a little bit. I like 70s music, 70s, 80s. Especially out the...
The old school.
I like old school. I like, you know...
That's what we listen to. We listen to that on Sunday because we need to just decompress and went to Mass and just relax and enjoy music.
Yeah, and we're doing work as well around the house and stuff.
Yes,
you know, it's not like we're just sitting around the couch. But again, some of that music that I do enjoy, 70s and 80s, you know, oldies, you know, Latin music, you know, Hispanic music, even the rhythm and blues.
Mm-hmm.
When I hear it, it transports me to sometimes a beautiful memory, sometimes maybe kind of a sinful memory, but it does transport me somewhere. And so again, so the proof is in the pudding of the power of music. This is why, again, the devil knows the power of music and he uses it so effectively.
Yes. So this is the realm of images, senses, and passions and memories to which the devil can have access, because they are more tied to the flesh than the other spiritual faculties of the mind and will. The devil can attack and manipulate these sensitive parts of the human soul with experiences of severe nightmares, voices, unclean images, visions, etc. There's many things.
That's the way. Father just explained the way the devil attacks. When he attacks your lower passions,
mm-hmm.
and your lower passions are connected with your mind and your imagination, what do you get? Nightmares, voices in your head, unclean images, visions, phantasms, locutions, apparitions. That's the way he does it.
Yeah, especially at night.
Yes, yeah.
This is usually why people who are possessed or seriously obsessed suffer so much. They are attacked in the sensitive parts of the soul. So now you know you have a sensitive part of the soul, and it's how you direct that sensitivity. Are you going to direct it towards, you know, evil or curiosity, that which could lead you to sin, or are you going to direct those sensitive passions towards God?
And that's why Saint John Vianney says that. He says, guard your five senses.
Mm-hmm.
Every human being has five senses. He says, guard your five senses, because your five senses are the doorways to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, and it's generally, of the five senses, I'll tell you the ones that are the doorways, really, it's the eyes and the ears.
Mm-hmm.
The eyes and the ears are constantly being bombarded by the devil, just low-level projections of temptation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way he operates.
Yes.
And those are the sensitive parts of the soul. But those senses, again, are tied to our emotions. You know, you see something, you hear something, the emotions are triggered. And that's why, again, the old Catholic adage is called, take custody of your senses.
That's where, you know, you have your optic nerve. You know, your optic nerve is very telling on how your health is. The doctor will look and he goes, oh, you know, do you have diabetes?
Interesting.
Oh, do you have high blood pressure? So there you go. The eyes really tell of who you are, what you are, what's inside. So be aware that, yeah, I agree with my honey here that, yes, the eyes are really the ones that really tell exactly where you're at.
And that's that. So medically, it's confirmed. And also, that's why in poetry, you'll have a lot of great poets say the eyes are the windows
it's
to the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
oh my
a wrap.
Gosh, that was quick. And we just finished part eight.
This is Friday. Friday's show. We're done.
Yeah. Put your seatbelt on for part nine next week.
You have a great weekend.
We enjoyed your company.
Up next, Gary Machuda, by the way.
Yes.
Hands-on apologetics coming from the Windmills Command Center. As for us, we want to wish you a happy, holy, blessed weekend. God bless you. Keep the faith. And we'll see you next time.
See you next time.